This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Sixty degrees in Wenatchee Town. It's 12:15. Michael and I are with you once again. The show is called The Agenda, and it's silly for me to be telling you about multiple sclerosis because I just looked all this stuff up. But I can tell you this: consider it. It's unpredictable. It's disabling. It gets to the central nervous system and disrupts the flow of information from your perfectly good brain to the parts of your body that gradually stop working. And it may seem impossible, but the immune system actually eats away at its own protective covering of the nerves. This is insane. The nerve damage to the fibers is destroyed by multiple sclerosis. In fact, that's what it means. Multiple sclerosis means multiple areas of scarring. The history of multiple sclerosis is a detective story, and I don't think the story's finished yet. We need Sam Spade on the case or someone who knows what they're doing. A disease of the central nervous system affecting people? What can you do about it? There is no cure. There is treatment, but there's no cure. But walking wouldn't hurt. In fact, that's what this whole show is about, the MS Walk. There's one in Tri-Cities, Coeur d'Alene, Wenatchee, and even in Clarkson. They're walking all over the country, all over the world, I'll bet, because this is a disease that's frightening in its efficiency and disappointing in the way it does not respond to treatment. I've never known anyone with multiple sclerosis, but I do now. I know them well, and this is their third visit to the show. We welcome Pat Quinn Williams and Jessica Johnson right now. They're here to talk about the disease, but also to persuade you to join them on the Multiple Sclerosis Walk. So, ladies, welcome back. I can't believe this is the third time we've done this.
Yes, thanks. Yeah,
thank you for having us.
That's three long walks. And what does the walk provide? Let's talk about the results of the walk.
The walk, it's a fundraising walk, and that's what people need to get money together, and then we use it for research, which... Really, we're lucky here in Washington State because they do a lot of research over in Seattle.
Who's doing it?
The National MS Society. And then there's also some programs from the Department of Defense and some other programs that do that. The National Institutes of Health, they send out grants, and there are studies that are done through them also.
Well, I hope they continue that with our defense money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know it's nice to have a tank when you need a tank, but it's also nice to have a cure for multiple sclerosis.
Right. Well, and part of that is because they've seen people coming back from the Desert Storm and the war in Iraq, and those types of places have more of an instance to develop MS after they've been there.
And yet that's a desert atmosphere, yeah. Which is a little opposite from where we usually associate the outbreaks of MS.
Exactly.
Do we know why coming back from the Middle East has anything to do with multiple sclerosis?
No, other than that they think that there's some agent that they've been exposed to while they're over there. Some chemical agent somewhere over there. So they even consider that a different part of the people who have MS, if that makes sense. So
like a different species.
Well, kind of.
Different strain.
Different strain is the better word. Like, for example, I have relapsing remitting MS.
And that means?
And that means that when I have a flare, I may lose some sort of, let's say, vision in my left eye. But after my flare is done, I regain that back.
Wow.
And so that's the kind you want to have if you have to have it.
I guess so.
But you can also have primary progressive, and that's where you, once you have a symptom...
It just gets worse.
It just gets worse. Mm-hmm. You can have people who move from relapsing remitting into secondary progressive. So they've got a window of time where they gain their disability back, and then they slowly progress into secondary. So
is this a disease of the brain? I know we could talk about the central nervous system, but mm-hmm. you can't have a central nervous system without a brain. Is the brain also a culprit?
Yes. Yes. That's where mm-hmm. a lot of the lesions grow, is on your brain, and also they can be on your spinal cord too.
And then the central nervous system sends some sort of signal to down all your nerves, and mm-hmm. they break down then their efficiency?
Well, what happens is that our nerves are covered in a myelin sheath. Mm-hmm. And so if you think of that as a coated wire, what happens is that my immune system attacks the coating on the sheath, which is called the myelin.
Right.
And so then you end up with two bare wires basically sparking against each other.
And they short out.
And they short out and they cause that plaque. And so what happens is if my brain tells my hand to wave high, and for some reason that connection with the nerve has a break in it, then my brain has to figure out a different way to figure out how to tell my hand to wave high.
So the brain's going to send another signal in another path.
Right. And that's why they think that people with MS have struggle with fatigue, is because we have to do things
three times.
Three or four times sometimes. And we expect the same response as, you know, hey, I'm going to lift my hand and wave at somebody right away. So it's one of those things, yes.
So it's instantaneous, but it's still four times the effort that a normal person would use just to wave.
That's correct, yes.
What's your treatment?
Well, I'm lucky enough to be on a disease-modifying drug that's called Tysabri. I go in once a month, and I get my infusion. It's worked very well for me. I feel like I don't have very many flares anymore, which is a good thing. I'm going to knock on some wood somewhere and say
too.
Thank you.
Knock on formica.
Right. But it also, it's also very expensive. So I am lucky enough to be on a copay program, but that's one of the things that we see now, that even though there may be new drugs coming on the market, that's not lowering the cost of the drugs that are already on the market.
And the price stays high because there's not enough people suffering from it to make the price cut worthwhile for them?
And that they say that because it does take a lot of research and testing, that the cost to develop these drugs is high also. But still, we're talking $16,000 a month. If I didn't have health insurance, I would pay about $2,000 a month, still with health insurance, and I can't afford that. I mean,
who can?
Right. Yeah. So I'm lucky enough to be on a copay assistance program where they help me with the rest of it. So
who developed that drug? Was it a drug company or was it part of the MS Society?
It was Biogenetics. So it's a drug company. They work closely with the MS Society. And they actually have the copay program that I use so that I don't have to pay $2,000 a month. But still, it's cumbersome and worrisome.
I know you keep track of the research and what they're up to, but what are they doing in Seattle? I mean, they're looking for somewhere to beat it.
And my husband was just at his MS doctor in Seattle yesterday, and he told us the FDA just approved two new drugs on Friday.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's very exciting to have that because they're a little different, so it brings the total to like 17 or 18 now different drugs, because my husband's on a totally different drug than Jessica is.
Are they going to switch him?
No. He's been very stable for the last 3 or 4 years since he's been on it. It's a pill form that he takes every day. But again, same thing Jessica said. We have a program where we put in $40 and then they take it away or they pay it. So it's kind of, we actually don't have to pay any, but it would cost $7,000 a month. And these programs, when you get to Medicare, because my husband's going to be on Medicare this year when he retires, they quit paying, the companies quit paying when you get on Medicare.
Because you have to come up with plan A or plan B or plan F.
Right, and I guess they figure when you're on Medicare, you have a lot more money.
They don't figure that. They figure that they're going to get a lot more money.
They're going to get a lot more money, yes.
It sounds like, given all the difficulties some people have in getting a diagnosis, that there's about 20 different kinds of MS, or maybe more.
Well, they call it the snowflake disease, because if you had a room full of people who have MS, all of us would have different symptoms. We might have...
Symptoms?
Yes.
Wow.
We might, and that's what makes it so difficult to find a cure. They might be able to control, like, fatigue in some people, but it still doesn't cure the whole disease. It only cures the symptom. And so, but you have people who have a hard time talking. You have people who have face challenges, cognitive issues.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Rich's is more physical.
Physical.
His legs are very weak. And
you have, you have people who can't see out of their right eye. Maybe it affects their hearing. I mean, it can be anything. So they consider us MS patients as snowflakes because we're really unique because each one of our symptoms is different.
So it is the same disease, mm-hmm. but it manifests in completely different ways.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's partly because it's in the brain and it's signaling, you know, where it attacks the myelin is where it decides where you're having the most problems. So if it might be your speech, it's the center part of where they're, that's where the myelin is being attacked.
How can they look at the brain and get an idea that you have multiple sclerosis?
They do
CAT
MRIs.
Scans, MRIs.
And CAT scans.
And it shows up? I mean, it's a valuable tool for diagnosis?
Yes.
And it's come a long way, the diagnosis, because my husband was diagnosed in 74. He had to do a spinal tap.
I'll pass on that.
Yes, and
you
he
know,
said
you, know
you
me,
can
I'm
still,
a baby.
You can still, he goes, I still think of that and
I'm
wish
sure he
that
does.
They had invented the MRI back then.
Why can't they put
and
you out
Jessica's
for that?
Jessica's mom.
Yeah. No, they,
no, you can't.
I suppose that they could, but they don't. But my mother was diagnosed in the same way that she had a spinal tap when I was about in the third grade. And I was lucky enough to be diagnosed with the MRI, which they just want to see more than one lesion on your brain.
And they say, according to what I read today, that it's not passed on from one member of the family to the other, but one person in the family gives rise to the suspicion that somebody else might have it.
That's correct. They say that whoever they are, that they have maybe a 15% chance more likely to develop MS than somebody else who isn't related to somebody.
Is it like dementia in that more and more people are getting it, or is it staying with one section of the population?
We are seeing more and more cases, but I think that that's because they're better at being diagnosed sooner. And that's the key. You want to be diagnosed very quickly so you can decide what disease-modifying drug will work for you so that you can be on that because that provides you with quality of life.
How much did the MS walk raise last year in round figures?
About 42,000.
Really? Just for Wenatchee?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I'm impressed.
And you know, they always want you to get more.
Well, let's see if we can get 50.
I would love that. Yes.
Tell us
more
people. Tell us the details before I ask any more
questions.
It's
on Saturday, April 20th, 1 p.m. at Walla Walla Park. If you're interested to sign up and for more information, you can go online to walkms.org. Or you can call 1-855-372-1331.
The website is walkms, one word, D, I'm sorry, .org. Walkms.org. The Wenatchee event is going to be on the 20th, May 4th in Clarkston, if you're hearing me, Clarkston. Coeur d'Alene, I don't know if you can hear me, April 27th. Tri-Cities, it's coming right up. It'll be on the 6th.
Right, and the Seattle Walk is on the 7th on Sunday.
What can you say that's positive about the research and the effort to cure this disease, or at least come up with a extraordinary treatment?
I think it's, like Jessica said, they've come up with better diagnostics to get it quicker. My husband, you know, he was probably 10 years later. If he could have gotten, they would have had stuff 10 years earlier, he'd still be up walking around and everything. But it's just they've coming up with all different types of stuff for people and more disease-modifying drugs that can help everybody. And, you know, they're getting more. They're up to 900,000 in the country now.
Patients?
And patients that are officially diagnosed, 20,000. His doctor said 20,000 every year.
Now, it's something that's endemic to the northern climes. And Washington is one of the leading places on the planet that has people suffering from MS.
And there's two other states, Minnesota and Vermont also. Those are Washington are the three leading states in the country.
And that seems to be such an odd element of the disease. We don't
Northern
know why.
Northern Europeans, most of them, of descent and the correct latitude.
Mm-hmm. So, but I wonder if the northern Russian latitudes and northern Chinese latitudes that are very north, I wonder if they're suffering too. Do we hear about that?
We don't know. It's whatever is around. Is it Finland? You know, if you're in that
Finland,
that
but I think parts of Siberia are further north.
Think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About Greenland and Iceland and that? Are they suffering like we are?
I think that there is a comparable rate there, mm-hmm. as compared to, you know, the United States, but I know that the National MS Society has been really really vigilant on wanting to have a database of just knowing that somebody's been diagnosed, even, you know, just to have statistical information so that when they go back or when we go back and we talk to our legislators that we can say, there are this many people living in our state with this disease. It deserves research. It deserves money. And the fact that all the money that we raise here goes to our research, that the National MS Society is one of the biggest contributors to its own research. So,
what about Canada? Are they helping out with their own research?
I believe so. But, you know, like I'm most familiar with
Sure.
What's here.
Here.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
and
we just about out of time on this fabulous topic, which I really am interested in. Tell us one more time on the basics of how to get in on the walk.
It's Saturday, April 20th, 1 p.m. at Walla Walla Park. You know, the marathon's in the morning, so don't worry. We have the trail in the afternoon. You can go to walkms.org, or you can call 1-855-372-1331.
It's just an awful disease that seems powerful and undefeatable at this time, but we can look back in 10 years and say, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe 5 years.
Let's hope so.
I hope so. Good luck with the walk.
Thank you.
Pat Quinn Williams, Jessica Johnson, thanks for being so upfront and talking about this because it's important to know. And Washington has an opportunity to suffer more than anybody else.
And there's a lot of people just in the valley that have MS that you don't even realize.
And they don't know it, right?
They don't know, but they... Like Jessica says, you don't broadcast it that much.
I understand. Thanks for being here, ladies.
Yes, thank you.
Be back in a moment.
Let's play golf.
KPQ, I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Don Messick. He's the regional labor economist for everything that we think about here for Chelan and Douglas counties. And although we talked just a couple weeks ago, we're talking again because you guys are catching up on your reports for the year 2019. Am I correct?
That's exactly it. We had a double press release, Mike, on the 12th and on the 26th of March. We released January data on the 12th and just released February on 26th March.
Well, I have not seen those figures, so please tell us what you found.
Okay. I think the big news is that the unemployment rate has started to creep upwards. And for the last 3 months, Mike, we've seen rising unemployment rates in the Wenatchee MSA, Chelan Douglas counties. Not dramatically so, but we've started to see rates climb. Most recently, we had a 7.1% rate this February versus 6.8% in February 2018. So a 3/10 point rise. The one thing, or I think maybe a couple things to mention in regards to that rate. One, the rates are still at historic low levels. And two, labor force growth continues to be quite strong. What's driving the rate up is simply the number of unemployed has been rising at a faster rate than the labor force has been increasing. So it's a mix, Mike, of good and bad news.
Last month, the number you're talking about was 7.0, so you've come up a tenth of a point?
Correct. We went from 7.0% in January to 7.1% in February. That's not too unusual. You know, usually there's usually not much change between January and February of each year, and that's pretty much the case this year. What I look at more than over the month change, Mike, is over the year change. And again, we're still at historic lows, but the one cautionary note is the rates are starting to creep upward. And you know, I think we all knew they would sooner or later.
Is it unusual for the unemployment rate to go up a tenth of a point, but also you were talking about the labor force also increasing? Is that odd that they both go?
Yeah, and I think what's happening is one thing is February was a brutal month weather-wise. You know, I think we saw late winter storms, so, and that's going to impact some industries, whether it's trucking, whether it's agriculture, everything kind of felt the pinch. However, one industry that benefited from the late winter weather appears to have been leisure and hospitality. You know, think skiing and snowboarding and winter sports.
Do you know what part of the county those jobs increased in terms of?
You know, that we don't get. We did not get a breakout between Chelan or Douglas, or between portions of those counties, unfortunately.
I heard from some of the people who have shops downtown here in Wenatchee that that February was horrible. They were barely making their rent, and they were really worried how long the winter was going to go. It was crushing to the businesses.
Yeah, it was. It's always a mixed bag, I think. The thing I think is one of the things that could have helped is when I look at, and this is the part that makes me somewhat optimistic, labor force growth. I looked at the last 12 months and compared labor force growth rates for the county, the two county area, Chelan Douglas and the state. And you know, our growth rates in labor force surpassed the state growth rates 10 out of 12 months. So, for example, in this most recent time frame, in just look at this February versus February 2018, we had 2,475 more people in the labor force in the two-county area. That's a 4% growth rate. However, the number of unemployed grew by 313. That's a 7.4% increase in the number of unemployed. Hence what happened. The rate rose from 6.8 to 7.1. So, it's like I say, Mike, the indicators don't always go in the same direction.
I've noticed in terms of the construction industry, which leads the way in so many of your industry divisions, that there's a lot of construction going on right here along the river down by 9th Street where apartment buildings are going in. There's 260 units going in Leavenworth. I wonder what will happen when those projects are completed. Will we see a sudden decrease in construction, or will they all get jobs somewhere else?
Well, construction has actually been a growth industry in the county. And recently, the most recent data we had showed 2,700 jobs in the two-county area in this mining, logging, construction category. Most of those are construction jobs. And that was, 2,700 this February, 2,700 jobs in February of 2018. However, construction has been the booming area for the county. Last year, for example, our construction of all the major industries, construction grew 11.5% in terms of jobs. It was the one industry that had an extremely good year. So what's happening now is we're seeing a leveling out. We have 2,700 jobs February 19. We had 2,700 last year, but we're comparing a good year. So far, I think 2019 is a relatively good year versus a very good year last year. So I think construction right now is maybe stabilizing a bit. It'll be interesting to see what our March data show.
I wonder when we're going to have a new candidate enter the highest categories of employment. Construction leads the way. What else is on the top of the list?
Well, we had, when I looked at our data from last year, we had every major industry, and this is maybe a key point, Mike, every major industry either stabilized or gained jobs. Construction added 292 jobs last year. Health services, 300 jobs. Leisure and hospitality, 208. The broad category we call trade, which is wholesale and retail, transportation, warehousing, utilities grew by 159, state government by 50, local government by 58, and even retail trade in aggregate last year added over 100 jobs. And so it's now, with all that said, that was 2018. What's the bottom line? Our non-farm market here grew at 2.9% in 2018. 2.9. The state grew at 2.6. So we actually had a better year last year than the state. The downside, our growth rates are starting to decrease. So that is something to watch. And once again, Mike, kind of a not so much waffling, but it's a mix of good and bad news for the local job market.
When you see the numbers begin to change like this, can you identify what sectors of the employment listings are involved?
Yes. Yes, I think that one of the areas that's off right now, retail is flat right now, this February versus last. But there's another category. It's a mix of wholesale trade, transportation, which is trucking, warehousing, that's actually down about 400 jobs this February compared to February 19. Local government, and we do not get a breakout of which portion of local government is down, 200 jobs. In aggregate, our non-farm growth rate this February was rather lethargic, and I'm talking Februarys of 18 versus February 19. We had 44,200 jobs in the two-county area February 18, 44,600. So that's, in aggregate, only a 400 job, 0.9% growth rate. So it's, you know, it's the one part that does concern me somewhat, in that our non-farm job growth rate is, I think for the last 5 months now, has been a little slower than the state. So we haven't crossed over into the negative column, not time to push the panic button, but the short story is our non-farm job growth rates have been slowing, and really slowing now for the last 5 months here in the two-county area.
And that would be called a trend, I think.
Yeah, that's a trend. And, in fact, of course, you know me, Mike, I like graphs, and I've plotted it out. But I look back, back in September last year, we were growing at a 2.6% clip, non-farm growth, state 2.3. And then we had October, November, December, January, February, where we started to slow a bit. So we'll have to see where that goes. We'll be releasing the end of April. We'll be releasing March data. But it's kind of a mix right now, Mike, of good and bad news for the local economy. And I would still, maybe being an optimist, be a little more on the optimistic side. But it is just, we're going to have to watch several of these trends here in the two-county area.
The numbers after a long, great run are still positive, but they're beginning to change. That's Don Messick. He's the regional labor economist for Wenatchee, for East Wenatchee, for Chelan County, for Douglas County, and all that area around it, our metropolitan statistical area. We'll come back to talk more with Don Messick right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
If you need to replace your windows and patio doors, you can work with a salesperson and then a manufacturer and then try to find a decent installer. Or you can choose just one company for your windows and doors.
Or help you select an efficient new Daikin system that can save you hundreds of dollars in energy costs every year. Central Washington Heating and Air is here to help. Call 663-3557 or visit them online at centralwashingtonheating.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ. I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Don Messick. He's the regional labor economist for Chelan and Douglas counties. We're talking about the jobs report and the good and the bad news for the counties. If you just tuned in, Don's going to summarize everything we've learned so far. What about February 2018 to February 2019, Don?
Well, to sum it up, our non-farm growth rate is starting to slow a bit. We had a 0.9% growth rate in February, between the Februarys of 2018 and 19. Raw data, we went from 44,200 to 44,600 jobs. During that time frame of 400 jobs, 0.9%. How does that compare with the state? The state grew at a 1.9% clip during the Februarys of, between the Februarys of 2018-2019. But we have to keep in mind that the state's had 101 consecutive months of job growth. We've had 82 consecutive months of job growth. So And I would say one other thing is that although our labor force growth is looking good, our unemployment has started to edge upwards. We had a 0.3 percentage point rise this February versus February of 2018. So if I had to encapsulate it, Mike, I think we're still growing, but our economy's growing at a slower rate than it has been.
We're sort of playing against ourselves. We're at the top of the league, but there's no one after us except ourselves. Our own numbers are what we're going to have to deal with. Looks like we have great numbers that almost look like we're winning, but a little something on the other side that looks like we're beginning to lose a little too.
Yeah, it's always interesting. Very seldom do all the indicators go in the same direction. But, I think that last year was such a good year. Like I say, our non-farm growth, growth rate exceeded the state growth rate. And it's kind of like you get a 99 your math exam one year, and the next year you get a 97. Well, you've still done well, but you haven't done as well as the prior year. So, but I'm not making a prediction for 2019. There's still a lot of months ahead and a lot of curves in the road yet.
Yeah, you know better than to make a prediction, that's for sure, Don.
I have to know my limitations.
You have to know the numbers so you can make a graph, and I appreciate
yes.
that.
Yes.
Right behind construction, what are the other market leaders, Don?
There are some very positive indicators, and I think health services continues to be a growth area. We're up 200 health services jobs this February versus last, from 7,600 in February 2018 to 7,800. Leisure and hospitality right now is leading the pack in terms of total number of jobs. We show about 600 more leisure and hospitality jobs this February than we did in February 2018. In raw data, it's 6,200 to 6,800. Leisure and hospitality, think hotels, restaurants, eating, drinking places. So there are some still some encouraging signs, but we have to, you know, I have to level it out by saying I am watching these slowing growth rates and have to see whether it's just a kind of a transitory, temporary slowdown or whether we're going to continue until we cross into the negative column.
So when the new numbers come out a month hence, what will you look at first?
Well, what I always look at is each month I look at the non-farm growth rates in aggregate. Then I break it down to the major industries like construction, manufacturing, retail, health services, leisure and hospitality. And then I look at the labor force growth and the unemployment rates. There is one other industry, and I don't have the breakouts, but some positive changes. Manufacturing, which has really been flat ever since the idling of the Alcoa smelter, we're seeing a 100 job increase in the two county area. Now we round to 100, but it's been the last 3 or 4 months now we've started to see that rise. And again, in our estimates, we did not break out the different categories of manufacturing, durable goods, non-durable goods, but I am seeing a slight pickup in there. So that's some good news as well.
And that's the first gain in that particular sector of the economy that we've seen in some time.
It is. Manufacturing has been an industry that, of course, ever since the idling of the Alcoa smelter and the loss of those 400 primary metals jobs has been feeling the pinch. But I've graphed out actually manufacturing and looked at the growth rates, and we've seen now actually 5 consecutive months of year-over-year some slight growth in manufacturing. And so that's I'd rather see that trend than the others, and a trend go the other way. Also, the state manufacturing sectors now have posted year-over-year gains for the past 9 months, from May of 2018 through January 2019. I'm sorry, up through February. So we've seen, that's actually 10 consecutive months, I stand corrected, you know, with statewide growth. And we're not immune to what's going on in the state. So the state manufacturing sector's been picking up year over year. We're starting to show some increases. I hope in the future we'll be able to get some breakouts as to what type of manufacturing, but this time we can't discuss it. We just say in aggregate, manufacturing is starting to show some slight improvements in employment.
Well, we'll check those numbers in 1 month when we talk to you again. Don Messick, our regional labor economist. Thanks for all the numbers, Don. Thanks for the phone call. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for asking, Mike. Have a good one.
Don Messick on News Radio 560 KPQ.
The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the IBEW, is looking for O1 certified electrician.